The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
These words of Jesus can sometimes unsettle us when he talks division and dislike and fathers against sons, and isn't he the Prince of Peace? Where's the beautiful, meek, and loving Jesus that we're all so attracted to, right? It can be challenging. But Jesus, his intent, as we know, is not division. His intent is peace, is unity, is love. But he knows in order to get to that peace, unity, resurrection, one has to pass through a fire, a baptism. He knows, and that's why he's got a passion. He's got this fire, and he wants to set the world ablaze because he wants individual hearts to have this love and this passion that can push through those challenging moments, and that the fire of the Holy Spirit, that baptism being emerged, dying, and then rising again, that the people that follow him have that kind of love and passion and conviction that they can get through those challenging moments where apparently that division is happening because of their fidelity. Great example of this is Jeremiah in the first reading. Jeremiah is a faithful prophet of the Lord, and the people have been unfaithful, and he's preaching against them. If you don't turn to the Lord, you will be conquered. The Babylonians are sacking Jerusalem, and he gets to the point in his preaching where he says, God's judgment is here. It's at that you haven't been faithful, now you're going to have to cash in. The results of your choices. And he invites the king, lay down your arms. Don't resist the Babylonians. It's over, right? It's just more bloodshed. And the princes are like, don't listen to him, right? These princes who have been unfaithful or led the charge to infidelity and worship and in practice are whispering in the ear of King Zedekiah, get rid of him. Get rid of this prophet, man of God. And Zedekiah, the weak leader, concedes. Rather than have a passion and a love for the truth and to be humble and recognize and listen to his conscience, listen to his heart, listen to the man of God, he chooses to go with what's most convenient, what's most expedient, what his princes are saying, and he allows the just man to be persecuted and thrown into the well. And it takes another man of God, the eunuch, who comes and whispers, right? Ebed-Melech, who comes, that court official, comes to the king and says, this is unjust. You're persecuting the man of God and listening to these, I doesn't say this, but obviously these fools, these people who don't have God in their heart, they're looking out for themselves, for their own convenience, for their own power, their own interests. And again, Zedekiah, perhaps another sign of his weak leadership, he allows him to rescue the prophet, but he does it on the quiet. Okay, you go grab a few men and just get him out of the cistern. He doesn't declare, he doesn't go against and call to justice and kind of repent of his ways, but he does pull Jeremiah out. He doesn't have that passion, that love, that nobility to recognize, hey, this is what God wants. And even though it's going to create division in the court, some people want us, I'm going to be faithful. Same with Jesus, obviously, right? He's faithful. He preaches the truth, even though he knows it's going to bring division amongst the Pharisees, amongst even families, because every heart in the end has to make those decisions for themselves. And some we know in our own families, some make decisions one way and others make a decision another way. And sometimes those who make it one way are jealous of the ones who go the other way. Their vision happens. Not because Jesus intends it or wants it, it's because of the division in our human heart. And the invitation of the Lord to have passion and fire challenges that fundamental weakness of our heart. Which way do we go? Which way do we choose? The opportunity to be passionate about the Lord and what's good, and accept that sometimes it will cause uncomfortableness, division, or to just don't want to go there. Let's go the easy route. In the end, that's the heroic choice all of us have. This week, I was with my nephew. I took him up to visit the seminary, and then we went up to New Hampshire, and we were climbing in the White Mountains. And one of the mountains we climbed was Mount Lafayette. I'll admit, I didn't go up. He went up with a friend of mine. I had to stay home and do some work, but we climbed a little bit there. And I'd been up Mount Lafayette. He went up. It's a little more than he bargained for. I don't know if anybody's done it. You know, if you haven't, it's a challenging climb. I think it's about 4,500 elevation change. And it got me curious about who Lafayette was, right? Because the presidential range are all the presidents, Madison and Lincoln and Washington, etc. Who's this Lafayette that gets his named after a mountain, right, in the presidential range? Well, Lafayette was perhaps a man like Jeremiah. He was a French general supporting the cause of the revolution against the English, helping Washington. And at one point, several of the other generals came to him and were hatching a plot to overthrow Washington. They didn't believe in his leadership. They didn't believe in his ability. They didn't believe in his choices and decisions. And they started to create a cabal of three or four others, and they wanted to bring Lafayette into the group. Let's overthrow Washington. Lafayette heard this and went straight to Washington. Was faithful to him and said, hey, this is what they're scheming against you. And thanks to that, Washington could avert the uprising and eventually go on, obviously, as we know, to win the war, maintain the focus of the troops, etc. Washington was eternally grateful to Lafayette, not only just for that gesture, but for his leadership throughout the war. And in fact, afterwards, many years later, he went back to France, etc., and eventually came back to the United States for a tour. And in fact, you find around Greenwich, there's a few plaques that dedicated to Lafayette's tour. There's one just on the corner. I saw it the other day. He was treated so well that they just rolled out the red carpet and fanfare and all kinds of events in honor of Lafayette years after the war was over, because everyone remembered it was thanks to his fidelity, him not taking the easy road, faithful to Washington, that the possibility of victory was there. And he was a true, faithful, not patriot because he was a Frenchman, but supportive of the cause. That's the invitation we have at every moment. We have in our hearts that opportunity, brothers and sisters. We have the invitation of the Holy Spirit to choose the path of nobility, fidelity, the choice for Jesus Christ, the choice to be a witness of him, to speak the truth in love, to just, when nobody is looking, choose fidelity, choose our prayer, choose those elements of discipline that we know set us up for success and coherence and identification with what God asks of us. Or we have the easy way and say, you know, throw him in a censer. Shut up. Leave me alone. Let me just do what I want, right? That's the opportunity. That's the martyr's hour, right? The moment of truth, the chance to be what Jesus calls. And the last I'll say is what the second reading invites us. There's so many people around us, so many saints, so many great examples, such a great cloud of witnesses around us that are just cheering us on. Imagine when we get to heaven, they're all be like, you did it. You made the right call. That's it. We have a cloud of witnesses that are there kind of in the stands watching our human choice and say, come on, choose the good. You can. It's worth it, right? Persevere in running the race that lies before. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, right? That leader, the one who perfects your faith. Just trust in him. Believe in him. Keep going, right? Cheering us on. And keep that joy for the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cry. Keep that joy in front of you. The joy of heaven, the joy of being faithful to your conscience, the joy of being a noble soul. Like, keep that in front of you. Don't listen to all these snakes in the grass, right? Choose that. Brothers and sisters, let's ask for that grace today in the Mass to be a noble soul, willing to embrace, obviously, some of the sacrifices that come with that, but to enjoy the joy of victory, of knowing we are faithful and true followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.